This is a production of Cornell University.
Essay meeting, April 26, 2007.
This meeting is called to order at 4:50 p.m. Members, please be seated.
40?
Clerk, please call the roll. Now, Vice President Boxer will conduct open microphone.
Yeah. Hi, guys. As many of you know, the entire community of Cornell are ex officio members of the Student Assembly. If anyone has anything to say that's not on the agenda, please come forward and say it. Mike Walsh. Please state your name and year for the record.
Mike Walsh. I'm hoping to get my PhD in 2010. I'm also the vice president, the outgoing vice president of the GPSA. And we had our last meeting on Monday, and it was a good meeting. We had our election. Our president next year will be UU. Also, at this meeting, we had a little party afterwards, and like you guys didn't have wine at ours. But also, at this party, we also had some awards given out. Is that the best award? But we also had a couple of special awards given out to non-GPSA members. And we have a special award called Friend of the GPSA Award, and this award has gone to both Fulmerstern, our advisor, and Ken Hull, our advisor this year. We also have one more recipient at the table who's also been a friend of the GPSA. And that's President Kwame Thompson. Janet couldn't be here, and she's actually leaving town for a few months tomorrow, so she wanted me to present her to you today. And just thank you for having this great year of working together, getting the trustee resolution passed, getting a bunch of other things, working together, trying to lobby the administration for what every student here at Cornell wants. And we thank you very much for your good work.
Thanks.
Oh, that graduation can be. You think it's right.
Wait, Mike, I have a question for you, actually.
Yeah.
Did you guys amend your charter to add people onto the slope day steering committee? Or weren't there talks about that?
Yeah.
Is that going on now? What's the status of that?
There's going to be one person on the
executive board of slope day? Or
I don't know what the role of that person is going to be. I think we're going to be lucky to get a person to do that.
Right.
But that was just put on there.
Great.
And we had talked
good
about it. And somebody to really,
right,
you know.
And also just on that note, do you guys have some sort of way that you're planning on tracking how many grad students go to the slope this year? I know that's been a really, really helpful
survey put out.
Okay.
And it's pretty much being sponsored totally by the programming for this year.
Okay.
We've already administered through NET. It's parallel to the survey that they're going to graduate.
Great.
And they'll be sending one out to graduate students to get an idea of if they're going to slope day, if they're not, and if they're not, where.
Okay, cool. Thanks, Mike.
Okay.
Thank you. Does anyone else have anything? All right. Open mic is over.
All right.
Oh.
Who?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, come on out.
I actually have you on the agenda, so. Yeah, you can hear it. Okay, on to approval of the minutes. In your packets, you should have the minutes from the April 19th meeting. Do you have any corrections or additions? Can you please send them to the clerk? Their email or written form right now?
Yeah,
there a call for acclamation?
Call for acclamation.
Is there a second? Is there any dissent? Okay, seeing none, the minutes are approved. On to announcements and reports. First, we have an 0708 SA Internal Operations meeting reminder by Representative/Vice President Lavin.
Hi, everyone. I sent out an email to all the new representatives for next year. There should be a sheet floating around. All 0708 SA representatives, please sign up for the 30-day session with me. I Tuesday and Wednesday, I'll be there from 10 a.m. to 5 a.m. both days. We will discuss, the community chair and AA. We've got goals for the community, there's dual duty responsibilities, and I will try to make the eight goals and start the planning for the summer before we get back on. So, yeah, let's just make sure you get the sign-up sheet. I'll also use this as a hint for the new representatives. So, make sure you get the sign-up sheet.
All right. Are there any questions or comments? Okay, I also wanted to remind everyone, since we don't have microphones today, make sure you really project your voice. Okay, next we have an image committee report with Luke Chernowski.
Hi, everyone. My name is Luke Chernowski. I'm one of the current co-chairs of the Cornell Image Committee. Just to give a little bit of background, the committee's purpose is, you know, to improve Cornell in every sense of the word, whether that's the licensing of views, to student life, student relationships, and all that. Now, I know recently that the committee has kind of flown under the radar a bit, but I recently became co-chair and I really want to change that. Let me explain a little bit about what the committee has done in the past. Starting with the previous semester. The committee's co-chair is named Westmoreland and Jackie Abrams. They took the view this president's word three times. They were not successful. But they did manage to conduct an in-depth survey of the top 25 schools, as voted in the U.S. Grant Report, and do a comprehensive content analysis of their admissions materials, their stories, their recruitment, and hope to apply this research to Cornell. And they also managed to begin recruiting more members. Now, let me explain a little bit about our institution. Now, the research committee is drawn upon, a broad cross-section of campus. We hope to build its membership further. And, as well as unite other taxpayers in the past. So, again, that's something we're continuing doing. Again, we're looking to host several forums next semester. Find out ways to increase enrollment among, underrepresented minorities. Geographically diverse students, both nationally and internationally, as well as a broader economic diversity. We will continue to promote NOLA financial aid, as many of you know, becoming more and more of a contentious issue on campus. And I think people are starting to realize that Cornell wants to maintain its competitive advantage in students' success. This is an area we will definitely have to tackle. Again, our plan is to release a comprehensive report next fall. Hopefully, we learn what caliber this community will be released with it. Was first founded back in 2001. Since then, our preliminary findings reveal that Cornell has improved the ranking. I believe it's 12th this year, and that's 2 spots from last year. So, again, a positive sign. Since 2001, applications to Cornell have gone up over 50%. I think that's actually a very, very promising number. It's much larger than that. Admission rates have been slashed from 30.5% in 2000 to 20.5%. Again, another positive sign. There has been a slight increase, but yet an increase in underrepresented minorities. One of the large areas we see Cornell still lacking in is they haven't established a strong narrative about what Cornell stands for, what Cornell is, and how it's different from other top tier schools. Now, we encourage students to get involved. You can do this by joining our listserv, image-l.com. And, kind of add your own suggestions, And with that, that concludes my report. My name is Richard Austin. My contact or my net ID is LWC22. So if you have any questions or comments, I'm more than happy to give taken now, or is your address free?
Okay, the speaker's list is now open. Questions or comments? All right. Thanks for coming, Luke. Okay, our next announcement is a Big Red review update with Tim and Sasko. A little bit louder, please. We have the piano competing with you.
I talked to a lot of you before about Big Red Review, which is a course review website that comes together last year. And a lot of you were very helpful, and I appreciate that. We got a lot of reviews. We got over 200 reviews last semester, and over 400 students signed up for the capture of the website. Just about to start my advertising push for this semester. The only really major change that I make to the website since last semester is that I've added 1,300 cross-listing courses. So if you look at a review for a course, it's in the TS department, and it's also in EMGRD or something, it'll link you to the other reviews so you'll be able to see them. What I'm here primarily to ask for is that you keep helping as you have been with submitting reviews and helping to spread the word. But secondly, also to ask if it's possible for me to say in advertising that I'm for the bigger review is endorsed by the student assembly. This would be helpful in getting some coverage as well to get the word out.
Okay. I guess we'll discuss that at the end, but first, Vice President Coombs.
Yeah, I just wanted to. Like, as you said, we did endorse the Big Red Review. And I just wanted to apologize on behalf of, I don't want to speak on behalf of the assembly, I want to apologize on behalf of at least myself for not doing more to make sure that this was known. There, some of us tried to send out a campus-wide email. We ran into some difficulties with that.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, we will work on that next year. And I just wanted to extend you at least my apologies for not working harder to get this out there.
I think that the last time you came here, the consensus was that we do endorse the website. So yeah, definitely it's okay to use student assembly and advertisements.
Yeah.
Were there any other questions or comments about the site? All right, thanks, Timmy. Next, we have a UA update by Representative Duke.
Yesterday the UA had its last operational meeting of the semester. There's one more persistent organizational meeting next week for all the new members, or lack thereof, really. But the main topic of discussion yesterday was about the Transportation Advisory Committee, and we had comments from TCAT come in and talk about the bus program. Basically, in the future, they're only going to extend free bus passes to first-year students, and I know some of us who were freshmen last year, sophomore this year, got a free bus pass again this year. That program will not be continuing. Grad students are actually very unhappy with the way things are right now, so Jen was actually there and talked to some of the people at TCAT. Again, all the issues were discussed, but more action will probably be taken in the fall. I can't imagine anything is really going to happen before the end of the semester. And that's about it.
Any questions or comments? Representative Sales or Mom?
Does the organizational meeting next week include the GPSA liaison?
This is for the UA. So if you want to come, you're more than invited to come. But
I missed liaison. Sorry about
GPSA.
That.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Okay. Are there any other announcements or reports before we move on to business of the day? All right. Our first item is a talk with President Skorton. I'm not sure if he's here yet. I don't see him. No.
He's in the background.
Okay. Trying to look. So we'll move on to the class council's presentation with Kara Tappan.
They're all in.
Budget and
our account yet. It takes normally about 2 months for that to happen. And then another prior application for the top. As you can accommodate, it started out with a negative balance. And I think there's a lot of infections that get incurred in May. Don't have our account until July. It starts in the middle of the year. So it's listed on our sheet, but it tends to do that every year. So you kind of come back last year. And I guess I was wondering, we did have to decrease our violent funding last year. One of the recommendations that we had were to hold larger scale events. So as you can see from some of our events on the left, most tended to be larger attendance, larger events that either filled most of the class or were open to the entire school. That was along with some of the funding. And this year we're also thankful to have that on our election committee. So the first year we did that with recommendations and aesthetic. And it worked out really nicely and we appreciated it. So if anyone has any questions about some of the events we've done, some of the budgeting,
okay, so the speakers list is now open. I actually have a question about the World's Fair. Do you guys have the attendance numbers for that?
The police officers who work here estimated there were about 2,000 people there in attendance. And it looks so high that they have to close down the attendance at the last year.
The speakers list is now open. Are there any questions or comments about Representative Sullivan?
Yeah, I just want to say I think that your point was well taken on the class house comes refocusing on larger events this year. One of the things that I remember was really concerned about my funding was sort of like a lot of knickknacks being given out and smaller attended events. You guys seem to really be focused on a lot of very attractive large events. I just want to commend you guys for having a lot of interesting stuff this year that's been, I think, really remarkable to all class.
Vice President Boxer?
No, I was going to say the exact same thing. Great job.
Oh, yeah, and the
FIA
has been on our communication committee too, so. Yeah. You know those two members, and good luck to the incoming future members to be on the
Vice President Coons?
Yeah, no, Kara, you know, I go to this informally. I just want to make it formal. I think you did a fantastic job this year. Proverbial tip of the step into you. I think it's all looks fantastic. Just basically wanted to get that on the record.
Oh, and another one. The application also looks small, but you guys in the fall violent funding cycle will receive more of the actual expenditures. There's about $100,000 more in cost that are there, so which we've been working with Vice President Murphy's office and President Ford working out situations that companies can help outside from the federal.
Representative Self, if you have one last question.
Yeah. I don't know if you were going to present next on compensation. The only thing I want to say is this is criticism, but it's more of an idea for next year. There seems to be a lot of frustration this year from students not understanding the process for the who goes on the compensation selection committee and really not understanding the importance of confidentiality, why you can't just publish the 10 people who are looking for and have, you know, student number four realize that they're our fourth best choice. So you guys might want to consider sort of preemptively before, you know, as things are going in next year, publishing some things in the Sun, just outlining this is the phase we're at, like a conversation update, some kind of PR, because I think that to me
is that. We
intended
to do it this year, as you know,
Okay. All right. I guess now we've kind of unofficially transitioned into the convocation conversation. So. Any questions about convocation? Okay, on to Senior Week.
And Senior Week actually just kicked off. We have three opportunities there to participate in the event all year long. Ticket sales went on, I think, 2.5 weeks ago. As you can see, ticketed events cost about $150,000 to put on, but we raised the money that we at cost to ticket sales, but we raised $150,000 to cover that. There's many things, including wine tours every day, cruises, the lake, rafting trips, daring lake trips, wine and cheese parties, and then lots of rafting and boating at the lake, things like that. And then also throughout the week, we hold nighttime events that are held on campus. It's been very successful in order to help the different police and campus police come to engage around to make sure College Town hasn't been, I have a question about one of the items. It says website. I think it says $5,000. Is that just for the maintenance of the website? Or?
Oh, the ticket. Okay, the ticketing website. Okay, the transaction. Okay, okay. All right, Vice President.
That's what my question.
Okay, Vice President Boxer.
I was just wondering how much money you guys rake in from Senior Week. Like, obviously, all of the tickets and stuff cost money. So I was just wondering proportionally, like, how much of that covers
right. Your expenses. We actually don't get any profit from the event.
It just goes right back to the establishments that you're...
Yeah, like, however much, like, we contract with lots of different wineries to have right. Tours. We think we rent almost every single bus during the event that week. Make sure to be learned driving. And so whatever the cost of each event, we divide it out by how many they can have at their facility. Mm-hmm. And so we don't make any profit from that. That's just providing a service and, you know, coordinating it so people aren't, you know, trying to do it on their own.
Right.
On their own.
Thanks.
Okay. Were there any other questions or comments? All right. Thanks, Carol.
Thank you.
Next, we have a Willard Strait Hall Student Union Board wish sub presentation. Could you all please state your names and years?
So this year we're doing the increase in funding, and we've been able to extra money more people from the campus and get people coming back to Village Street. Some of our most successful events included Movies on the Boat, where we played students and hands in the next year. So that was about 200 students. And we continue to do art gallery openings every about 3 weeks. And we have music series where we bring musicians into the Valley Library and they play during lunch. We also started our art club sponsorship, where people who aren't art majors and can't have access to studios and facilities can have a chance to come here to, you know, practice their time. And we also did the AIDS Club this year, which was really brought in in Royal Room over the week of World AIDS Day.
Some of our other big events were the trivia nights, which we actually had to turn people away because of capacity issues. But it was very good. We planned to do it again. Very successful. The chili cook off has become a tradition. And everyone loves it. A lot of people come. So it's a great event here. Bingo night, kind of expensive this year, but that's just because we had to buy all the stuff, so in the future when we do it, it'll be a lot cheaper. And this went very well, and very appreciate it. Very good now. And for Crafted in the Street, it's coming up very soon. It's going to be a bigger event, co-sponsored with it. We're going to have inflatables and other fun events, video games, massage therapists, stress balls, a whole bunch of other great stuff. That's
I had a quick question. In the amount spent column, is that expenditures minus income, or is that just how much you spent? The only reason I ask is just for clarification, because I was surprised at how cheap Movies on the Slope was.
Well, we had a sponsorship.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
That's how much
money
is
coming
out of the
sponsorship.
Okay.
So we've done some.
Yeah.
All right. Vice President Boxer.
This looks great. You guys did a great job. I was just wondering if you, if your members of your e-board or anyone has been able to get involved at all with any of the master plan workshops, because I know that this building in and of itself is kind of, there's a lot of talk about different, you know, making it wireless, like all sorts of different uses for the building. So you guys obviously know it really well, and I was just wondering if you were involved, you know, at any level of those conversations.
Yeah, well, we're trying to be involved, and we keep us pretty updated on what's happening. Unfortunately, not everybody is able to attend those meetings, but definitely I can keep up, and everyone else
is attending. Representative Rami Salem.
Are you planning to continue running all these events for next year, or do you foresee like taking any of these off that weren't too successful?
Yeah, we're definitely going to be going next year. Trivia Night was a huge success, so we can do that again. We're also trying to bring back some events we've done in the past. The Faculty Fireside is something we've been trying to revamp. A couple years ago, there was a very cool event called Vanessa Money, which is kind of being showed in the street, and we're going to try to do that next year as well.
Are there any other questions or comments? All right, well, thank you guys for presenting. Now, President Scorton just stepped in, so I'm going to invite him up to the podium, I guess, we're going to call it. And this is, I guess, just a free-form discussion with some opening words.
Yeah, and
I
don't have to take up too much of your time, free-form or otherwise. I just want a couple minutes to thank you for this first year of your involvement, your willingness to get me out of in front of students and a chance to get great feedback. That has been fantastic. When I was attending from talk day, I didn't think that we could just be getting over this enormous horrible thing that happened at Virginia Tech, which is, you know, colored the end of the year for everybody. I want to also thank the students, undergrads and graduate professionals, for how the students came together and responded to this. We're going to be spending some time, we already have started, and we'll be spending very concentrated time in the next few weeks to look carefully at the issues of campus security and the balance of openness to mental health and stress issues that, ironically, I wrote about in a TV Sun column a couple months ago. And we'll be looking forward, even though it's summertime, for whatever feedback that we can get from students and from students at large about these issues as we come forward with some more concrete issues, especially about communications on campus and so on. But I want to end my very brief remarks where I started, and thank you very, very much, Kwame and others, for making this such a easy transition for me. I feel much more connected to the students than I thought I would just in a few months here. It's been great. A lot of that credit was supposed to Vice President Murphy for finding all the different venues, office hours, open forums, in addition to the ladies' contact, and so on. But that's basically it. I'm glad to stay out of your way. I'm glad to answer any questions if there are. But the main thing I just want to thank you for the year, and I wish you guys good school days and something to miss out.
Well, thank you, and I think I speak for all of us when I say we enjoyed working with you as well. And we do have a couple of questions, at least. Vice President Boxer?
Yeah, thank you so much for coming and speaking to us. I know how busy you are. I guess I was just actually wondering something that I know some of us have been talking about a little bit in the wake of Virginia Tech. Is just sort of what would be the protocol here if a student did just have any concerns about the mental health of another student. I know it's a very fine line because it is, if there was like a service set up where anyone could report anyone else, you know, apt to abuse, but just, I was really thinking about, I don't even really know what I would do if, you know, in a situation where I was concerned about another student's mental stability. So
it's a question, the most important question anybody can ask. I'm I think you know some background, which in case you don't, I'm a doc, and my practice was in people your age for a long time, heart disease, but just a general adolescent sort of orientation, young adult orientation. And so mental health issues, stress issues, more serious issues, suicide, schizophrenia, and so on, that is something that I've been concerned about, and I think this is a long time. When I first got here, I asked Vice President Murphy to develop a briefing so that I could understand a little bit about the answer to your question, as well as the broader understanding of what has been happening in years past and what the latest work has happened, not only here at the Department of Kubernetes, but also at the medical school where we have many students as well. She developed that briefing. It included Jan Korsenreicher, the director of Kubernetes. Some of the mental health professionals at Connect. We had one physician from Wild on the briefing. And I left the briefing in fall semester with two impressions. First of all, a great deal of admiration for what has been developed here in terms of three things. One, the actual services available. Even though there's always room for improvement, I believe there's still room for a very serious effort to increase staff and have a focus on preventive and treatment services for mental health, you know, broadly speaking. Secondly, an attempt to find a way to be responsive to this concern, find that sweet spot between individual privacy on the one hand, and sort of a more general public interest on the other. That balance is what we're talking about. Between HIPAA, the Act that reinforced the medical privacy, and FERPA, the Act that protects your records as students, in the ADA and other regulations, and also just general ethics or professional practice, there's a very strong emphasis on the side of personal privacy. And when something like this horror happens, that occurred at Iowa in 1991, and also in Virginia Tech, you wonder where that balance point should be. The second thing I was impressed with is that people thought about that carefully here. And the third is an attempt to push the envelope on identifying people who feel that they may be having problems or colleagues that may have problems without stepping over that line of personal privacy. And so I was impressed that all those things were happening. As Susan will tell you, and as reflected in the fact that I spoke about that in the assignment problem, I still think we have to be not only ever vision, but continue to push harder and make it better. The fact that a very involved person who was asking me, that we did not have a real good, despite my problem, despite.
So and, that's, and the campus-wide email, we tried to this, the idea would be that any one of those numbers that we need to call, this is in the campus-wide email, could trigger a conversation to the right people, first back to you about what you could do, and then what we would do, either to help you or to, if you will, take over from you.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if you wouldn't mind if we could do this in the next week. That email is already went out. If you could send it into leadership. Because then you guys could look at it again. And if it's the case that we're looking at that, you believe that there's some obvious holes in the communication that we could fill, you should start to know what that is. The last issue you might even raise is the side of campus security and the issues of stress and mental health that I personally think we ought to have dialogue about is about firearm regulation. And its interaction with the campus. There's a huge broad controversy, obviously, about gun regulation in general. And I'm no more qualified than anyone else to talk about that. But in terms of the interaction between firearm regulation and the campus environment, I think that's something we do have to talk about as a community. So those are the three things that I think we need to do in the way of this issue. Campus security, mental health issues that you brought up, and the interaction of firearm regulation.
Vice President Coombs.
Yeah, President Scott, I want to echo Kwame and Sarah, and thank you for coming out today. My question is kind of a bit of a follow-up. When you came out back in October, the one question that I really asked was about communication, because this year, if there's been any frustration expressed to me on the part of the student body, it's been, what are you guys in the SA do? What programs are you doing for us? And there are two examples in particular. One of them is Mr. Stasko came today. We endorsed this website, the Big Red Review, last semester. And it had to do with course evaluations and a few other things. When we endorsed that, immediately what I and a few other representatives wanted to do was send out a campus-wide email about this. We've never approached the administration in the past to send out any such email except for, with the exception of voting emails when people want to vote for SA members. There was some apprehension on the part of some SA members that the administration would somehow be bristled if we approached you and asked you to send out an email about this website, even though it came from us, because the understanding would be that maybe the administration would be so supportive of this website. There was that, and then there was another thing that it was a resounding success. Representative Hartman over here started a bus program that ran students up to Syracuse to the airport for a lot more cheaply than they could for the local Ithaca taxi service. We also were not able to send out a campus-wide email about that, on probably due to some of the same apprehension. So I just wanted to ask you if you had any recommendations for how we can work. I know Vice President Murphy followed up when I asked that question in October. She sent me an email so that we could work on this. I haven't really heard anything since. I just wanted to check and see what.
I did respond back to you, and I don't know that I had any request for further conversation. I mean, my suggestion was that we look at the posting of the past website and pushing the information out. If you're correct in saying we have been hesitant to do campus-wide emails for announcement of programs, if you as a student assembly really think that that's the essential, I would say we should look at revisiting it. I have a very strong personal feeling when I get the feedback from students about they're not reading emails, but they are inundating them with it. But, and which is why we're trying to target pushing the information. But if, you know, if we want to open up the conversation again for thinking about assembly communication, different than class councils for 850 organizations, I'll be open to that conversation if that's what the feminist really is.
There's another approach to this that incorporates what you're asking about from the Vice President Murphy is suggesting, and that is, even if there's some controversy, try three or four times and you guys be responsible for big feedback from students to see if it's being effective or not. Because one of the things is we tend to do these policy discussions about communications or procedural discussion, and how do we know where we are, whether it's working or not. So maybe if we do get this one trying, maybe we can do that with some of the legal students. Maybe you can design some mechanism for testing whether it works or not by trying to get some student feedback in some form or another.
What you mean, like testing what? Testing
the... Well, for example, let's say that Vice President Murphy's concerns about some sort of slippery slope of, I guess I shouldn't say that, slippery slope, but anyway, a million things to students, saying that read the stuff. I've had actually multiple students, and I think this is a great sign of respect that colleagues share stuff on campus, and tell me my colleagues, for example, try to get to the point in the first period that I'm going to read it, which is cool. It's good to hear that. I've also been told by many of my students that they won't read email when it comes for me unless there's some terrible thing happening and that's called out in the subject line or something that makes people look at it. So I'm also skeptical. On the other hand, the fact that you want to do it is good enough for me as long as we could agree to find out if it works. So let's say there was a compromise. And despite the reservations, we agreed to try helping you, making sure the emails got out for a certain subset of communications. Can we find out whether people are reading, whether it's actually working? And we'll be up to you, next year to see whether that makes sense or not. How to do it, survey, focus group, or through the normal mechanisms of ESA, just so that when you have some idea whether it's worth doing or not. Otherwise, I'm very supportive, and I'll leave it between you and Vice President Murphy to do his things right. I'll follow behind whatever he has to do.
I really appreciate it, because my only concern was if not email, then it's very difficult for us to be able to communicate at all, because I know nobody's really gotten to hear much about the Big Red Review, precisely because we don't really have any way to get that across. I appreciate it.
Can I just, if you have a look at other campuses, just to see how they handle it?
Sure.
I think maybe other campuses, they have policies that start varying from ours and might help us understand how to measure it.
I think we'll take one last question, Representative Sell.
President Scorn, I just wanted to thank you and commend you for your work on climate change and sustainability this year, and for stepping and signing the President's Climate Commitment. I think that's really echoed a lot of student work for the past 3 or 4 years, and it's great to see you do that. And I just wanted to thank you and other members of the administration for being so collaborative with those other issues this year. And I wanted to ask you, what have been, your first year here, the most effective methods for you to work and collaborate with students, even having office hours and something that's forums?
What were you asking that? Unfortunately, I think they're all valuable because different parts of the student body come out of those different things. You've got office hours, two to three times a September. You've got the forum that you all sponsored. We went to the forum, many of us, that DSU sponsored. We have been with you all here. That's right, Chief DSA. And then I had to wait for the creative student version of that while. And, in terms of all kinds of things, your time, my time, I was hoping that you realize that A were, but B didn't work. But I had a lot of positive feedback. When I say positive feedback, how many people say you're doing a great job? I mean, people respond to whether they agree or not, suggesting that there was communication occurring. In the column, I've got a very surprising amount of feedback in the column, whether people agree or not, including other columnists, something written, take an issue with this or that, whatever it is, it's the communication of the column. So starting the second year, much to Vice President Murphy's aggravation, I would like to continue to do all of them, and then we'll see. If people don't come, But all of the ones that we had, even though it was a little thinly populated, still were a really number of people, 2,000 people, whatever. And so I think it's been great. Vice President Murphy's already recommended a schedule for the next year that continues all these different things. So we don't go over in a relatively short period of time. But we're doing one or the other on the year, we can do whatever we want for our office hours or whatever. So I think we can just try to do it. One thing I think about today is I need to document with the editor and managing editor of the Daily Sun. And one thing they brought up was the Daily Sun meeting frequently with me, even if it's a relatively brief meeting, so that there can be more communication. I agree to do that. I'm just going to have to figure out exactly how to do that. So how's that for a sort of an answer? Just all the above.
And just a quick follow-up question. I'm sure you're still considering trying to find a way to live on campus.
I'm going to do it every fall. I did ask the Vice President Murphy, thinking that I'm her boss, and that anything I ask her, she will like immediately respond. And I said, it's the end of the semester, I don't know where Robert and I will be living. This fall, and she said, when all the students are settled, then we'll figure out what's up for you. which is good. In other words, she's just as thoughtful as she is.
All right. Thank you so much. Okay. We're not doing Resolution 31. So on to new business. Resolution 42, resolution regarding the IDI. What is that? Intellectual Diversity Initiative, right? Vice President Coombs, Representative Dina, Representative Salem, Representative Santana, Representative Slickman, and Ms. Megan Sweeney.
Well, I'm going to ask two people that we have as sponsors. Yeah.
Okay.
Justin White, of the President of Cornell Center Public Affairs Committee, and Roger Goose. So the resolution, I guess, the actual resolution that we're all going to be able to resolve is pretty simple. It's in support of the Intellectual Diversity Initiative, which is the IDI. The point of the Intellectual Diversity Initiative is, as you guys know, issues of intellectual diversity have been discussed lately as one form of diversity that Cornell often embraced and as one form of diversity that will enrich and is necessary to enrich the Cornell community. The authors of the IDI and the points you present in this are pretty much in order to guarantee that students' interests are being served in the best possible manner. We believe that students' interests are best served in an environment where education and not indoctrination is the sort of driving force or sort of the most important value. And we do believe that Cornell University upholds this for the most part. However, there have been instances where this hasn't been the case, or students have been denied the right. For example, if you guys have read last semester, at the end of last semester, Eric Jarvis, 08, published a column about being denied being told not to come to class because he was presenting a point of view that was sort of contrary to the professors. Now, we believe, the authors of the resolution, and I hope that most of you in here believe, that should be unacceptable, that all points of views of students should be embraced in class, and that all points of views should be placed in this marketplace of ideas. Because where this marketplace of ideas exists is where we as students and future leaders are able to make the best decisions we possibly can. From the supporters of the resolution, you can see it's very widespread. It's not from a particular political spectrum. It has nothing to do with politics. It's a resolution that is about intellectual diversity, that the authors feel and the co-sponsors feel are very important for the Cornell community. And with that, I'll turn it over to any of the other offices or leaders to see if they want to say.
Yeah, I would just add too that President Storch was talking about the daily fund column. This is actually the subject of the first fund column, so we're really encouraged that he recognizes it as an issue. And at no point does this, I'll just reiterate Ahmed's question, no point does it specifically cite any particular ideology. It's safeguarded as much to the right as it is to the left, And that's a good.
Yeah, no, definitely. It kind of speaks for itself. I think it's a good time to remember it. We can have any questions you got.
Representative Gay.
Overlooking the obvious parts of the nature of the sponsorship and the derivation of this resolution, is this truly an endemic problem at Cornell University? Are there thousands of students being indoctrinated into a crazy progressive philosophy?
There is the number one thing I'm encouraged about. I have actually been stopped by freshmen who have first moved here and said, I don't know what to do. I have had professors who won't call on me. I have professors calling me in their office hours. Say you have to change this essay topic because I just don't agree with it. I know some persons, there are times where professors will write on tests or quizzes. I know from personal experience, I had a professor that wrote on one of my quizzes something that had nothing to do with the topic whatsoever. And it pretty much, called me out. I'm sure this happens on the other side of the aisle as well. I just want pretty much the main objective of this is just to ensure that everybody's voices are heard. There's a safeguard for these kids because, I don't shut up, but there are plenty of freshmen that are terrified to talk to professors and are terrified to go to anybody. And I actually met with David Harris last week about this, and he said to us, why don't you utilize the Irish report? And I said, these kids are too scared because, unlike, say, that the student, making comment about another student. If they go to the police and file a bias report, professors know who this is generally, and they're scared that it's going to have an adverse effect on their grade.
Sure, yeah, and I just want to jump in and say, we thought very carefully, there's nowhere in the resolution to the level, or just the levy accusation against Cornell. This is something that should, we believe, is...
Well, implicit in the
hold on.
Actually,
no way, it is your speaker time. But I think it expired, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Speaker's time is expired. Representative Self.
So I just am a little curious about this. I think that, to me, it seems somewhat similar to the academic bill of rights and sort of a new refashion, like more generalized sounding of this. And while I agree that there's no overt partisan language, it does seem to me to have the tone of sort of reprimanding a problem at Cornell. And I'm very interested to hear some of the things you're saying about students crying and having issues with their professors. But one thing I want to ask is, what does this document do as far as setting up any kind of procedure or structure for students to have recourse? This seems to be more of a list of standards rather than providing concrete ways that students who have these issues can go do something.
First one on that. When we decided that intellectual diversity was an issue that we wanted to tackle, we actually looked around the country for different resolutions that were passed. And we thought that the fairest one was the Princeton Bill of Rights. This does not have the language, as strong of a language as the academic Bill of Rights, and taking great pains to kind of distance ourselves. And in terms of students, this is an important first step. It's an ongoing thing. Personally, and I hope in the future, if we've been meeting with the Diversity Council, we would love to open up a dialogue, even with friends and support. The faculty and I know Austin has met with conservative and liberal professors on this. And this is just really the beginning step, to show kids, this is an issue we're addressing, this is kind of the base of where we're starting, and this is,
Okay. Yeah,
I agree with it. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. I wanted to, but I appreciate that. I just also want to say before my time expires that I'm a little uncomfortable with comparing this kind of diversity to the Spirit of Open Doors, Open Hearts, Open Minds initiative, because in speaking especially with Provost Harris and things like that, there have been some really problematic comparisons between issues of bias-related incidents and things like that, and intellectual diversity. So I just caution you thinking that in a future debate about this. So. Thank you.
Representative Romney Salem.
Yeah, I really like this resolution. I really like this idea. But what do you recommend, or how would you recommend distinguishing between professors who don't outright, you know, like use the example of writing some comments on the essays? Like for essays specifically, there's no right or wrong answer. But what would you say to professors who do express like dissatisfaction, but just reflect their satisfaction in your grading and nothing else. No outside personal treatment. And also, would this open up a way for, like, if I was to receive a grade on a test and I wasn't happy with it, to point to this and say, oh, you're not treating me fair. Like, would that maybe, like, form an excuse for students? And how would you prove that a bad grade is from poor performance or because of, like, some sort of personal...
Yeah, I'm going to defer to Akron on this one because Kelly won't use this time. She wouldn't mind using a little years to say that one of the friends of my advisor, Mr. Kramnik, who is by no means any raging right winger, expressed his support for this. He's built a writing faith like this. I mean, it's an intellectual organization. And it doesn't let me accusation to form help. It tends to embody the spirit of diversity. Actually, this question is very good and very important. This document itself, as Calvin pointed out, is a set of principles, and it says at the bottom that the signatories of this document do not have the power to make it binding. Rather, this sort of sense as a body representing the students that this is something we do as an important. Now. I don't think it is correct to assume that this can be abused. I mean, if you take a bio test, you can't go up to the professor afterwards and be like, yeah, actually, you violated the intellectual diversity initiative because I think that, you know, the heart does this thing. And you like, these are like clear facts. I mean, where it can get a little, questionable is when, you know, something like the liberal arts, the government department, the economics department. But even then, I think that having such a document doesn't necessarily mean that students will levy accusations. It just gives, empowers students to sort of enable them to go and talk to the professor. So let them know that, you know what, this is something that you can discuss openly.
Speaker's time has expired. Okay, moving on. Vice President Boxer.
I guess I was just wondering, well, first of all, I have to say, like, I'm a double humanities major and have never, and I think I have pretty vocal political views, and I've never experienced any problems with any professors in 4 years in arts and sciences in the humanities at Cornell. So I'm just throwing that out there. I don't know. It's certainly terrible if any students do feel persecuted for that reason. I don't really have any, I've never had any experience with anything along those lines. And I guess I'm just sort of wondering, like, I know, Megan, you said that this sort of serves as a safeguard, you used that term. I guess I'm just sort of wondering how. I hate it when we pass resolutions that are sort of like statements about how we feel about things or what we feel like should be getting done. I kind of feel like it's almost like the first side of this resolution seems to me kind of more like a general statement, like we support intellectual diversity, which is fine. I guess I'm kind of not really understanding what exactly kind of a safeguard that does in and of itself, but why then does it need to be the IDI? Like I know you said that at Princeton, they kind of like just did their own, like why don't we do something? Like why don't we just say open hearts, open minds means this to us? Why don't, you know?
IDI will work very well when working with members of the administration saying, well, this is what we mean by intellectual diversity. This is what the student body means by it. Many times, you know, we're discussing having a website where students can anonymously issue their concerns. And in that sense, you know, administration says, what exactly do you mean? What exactly does that entail?
And we're hoping, you know, at the very least, we can use this and say, you know, this is what the student body, you know, is concerned about. This is, you know, this is pretty much what we're looking for. These are our goals. Now, how to get there, you know, that will be, you know, that will take time, any concrete step. But, you know, this is pretty much a starting point.
Okay. Vice President Greenberg.
I wanted to echo something Sarah said, which is in 3 years of classes here, not once have I ever encountered anything even remotely close to what it is that you're describing here. That's, you know, being very vocal in a variety of classes, having very vocal friends who they too have never encountered something along these lines. If in fact this is a problem, we'll make the assumption for now that this is really a problem at the university, and making the assumption too that this resolution is something that's going to help, you know, fix that problem just through its passage. My first question is, why are there not more co-signatories that are more representative of a variety of cross-sections of the university? I see there's 5 members of the SA, yourself as the chair of the College Republicans, who have done a very, very good job of trying to, you know, be a proponent for the conservative cause on campus. But why are there not more? Adam is the president of Cornell Democrats, for one. There's the Cornell Progressive, the Cornell Review. There's a number of different publications, political organizations that should also be co-signatories if, in fact, this is a problem. That's my first question. My second question, making the assumption, again, that this is a major problem, I don't necessarily feel that this resolution is really what you're making it out to be. Why isn't this a year-long or multiple-year campaign, an initiative that engages faculty members, that engages individual departments? Why are we taking the time to pass a resolution that you guys have described to be a Bill of Rights, when, in fact, this resolution should charge us to, or charge yourself, and we endorse it, to investigate this for a year, or look at it and analyze it and just take, because this is a major, major issue at Cornell. And this resolution, by passing it, it's not going to do anything about it.
No, I mean, fair enough. We have reached out to different members of the community. I have been told that certain other members of the community weren't interested in it, to the dealers. We even had one member of a liberal organization sign it. We have a petition circulating, sign it, and pretty much said, this, you know, get kind of, you know, nervous saying, you know, this might be too close to the academic Bill of Rights. So we're still currently in talks with that person. We're really looking to get this through the faculty senate. We're trying to, you know, make sure that this is a cooperative thing. With certain, you know, there are certain stigmas attached to anything when you approach intellectual diversity that are difficult to overcome. We're trying to spend a semester, you know, educating people, you know, trying our best. Any suggestions you guys have would be great.
If I can just follow up on one point again, you're mentioning that, you know, other organizations on campus might not, they turn down the opportunity to be a part of this. And I think that's something that's very important about an initiative like this, is the way that it's perceived by all of these different groups on campus. If they perceive this to be a useless endeavor or something that they don't want to be a part of, how successful does it really have the potential?
I think it's less if they view it as, you know, a useless endeavor and more if they viewed it as a conservative endeavor. And I think at a certain point, you know, people didn't want to look at it. I think, you know, even people that had signed it and retracted the statement, I think they just, you know, and they said to me personally, I'm sorry, this is just too much of a, this is too conservative for me.
So then how do you get over that hump of having it perceived as a conservative?
I was always skeptical of the academic Bill of Rights for exactly that reason, because they carry so much of a partisan association with it. But I was never necessarily against the actual principles in buying it, and I don't think really anybody should be. So what this does is just basically take that partisan association, the academic Bill of Rights, throws it out the window, and just puts the actual principles of it on the table. So you believe in intellectual diversity is growing it. And we tried very, very hard to rid this entirely underhanded partisan association.
So if that's true, then why are there no...
Speaker's time has expired.
Motion to extend my team.
That's been the most to extend by 2 minutes or 30 percent. Okay.
So if in fact this is meant to reach across party lines, so to speak, and this is meant to be a document that people from all factions of the social spectrum can agree with, then again, that brings us back to the first question of why are there no co-signatories on the other side of the aisle?
Well, I guess I'll respond to this one because I'm the one who's been trying to get a lot of co-signatories. And let's just first say that in addition to the signatories here, you also have Justin White, who's also the co-signatory. I didn't get a chance to call Ari in time to put his name on there.
He's the president of SciPAC, which, you know, is a nonpartisan organization, to my understanding. And also Roger, who also is a co-signatory. I also didn't get time to tell Ari that his name needs to be on there. I think there's a difference. You should, for example, just because we don't have a number of signatories, I don't think this necessarily renders the resolution sort of biased. Because if you look, for example, at our Facebook group, it has been joined by wide members from different political groups. I mean, I've actually literally looked at the people and clicked their names and checked out and stalked them, sort of checked out their political affiliation. And also, if you look at, I mean, just look at the SA members who signed this. Siobhan, I don't think anyone knows Siobhan as a raging conservative. Sarah Santana.
You don't have to pick out the individual political affiliation.
No, I'm just saying, like, it is obvious that it's not. I'm just responding to
the question. I'll echo the fact that, I mean, I mentioned a call a couple weeks ago that talked about why I left the Republican Party. Like, you have the front guy right here. I mean, we agree on this, sure. But I mean, I would remind you that I'm pretty vocal,
but I would say maybe just like I value your opinions as chair of the college Republicans and hearing what the conservative caucus on campus has to say, I also value the other side and hearing what they have to say. And having a couple members who might be a little left to the center saying that they agree with this doesn't necessarily do it for me. If you're represented on here, I want to see your other on the other side of the aisle as well.
Time has expired. Representative Hartman.
Before I point out the questions about the issue, I actually want to point out that the things that Representative Fox and Representative Greenberg brought up are kind of not really going into the issue of it. I mean, kind of faulty logic to say that it hasn't occurred in the classroom. For my personal one, it hasn't occurred at Cornell. So just because it hasn't personally occurred in Boxer's or Greenberg's classroom, I don't think we can make that assumption. And the second thing is, we're represented, the student assembly. If you have six people signing a resolution, and that's pretty big. I mean, we don't have resolutions like that. We're elected. These things, yes, we need to sign the resolution, but Chief Cornell Republican President, what matters more is that we got five representatives from the assembly signing this resolution. So we had a broad support from the community signing this resolution. So I wouldn't say that we don't have enough political support. Now, that aside, I actually do have questions about the resolution. Okay, for point number two, I'm kind of concerned about the indoctrination approach. How you guys say that excluding different viewpoints, I just want to bring up a special case. One of the main debates in politics for some people is intelligent design and evolution. And some people in intelligent design might feel if it's not mentioned in the evolution class, then that's exclusion. But like a year ago, Hunter Rawlings came out and said intelligent design has no place in the classroom. Would a resolution like this say that evolution classrooms have to include intelligent design in their thing or their exclusion viewpoint as political?
I mean, what you get to really comes to the heart of the full education. I mean, if kids aren't able to learn, you know, of the different viewpoints or of all viewpoints, you know, especially with the implicit endorsement of the teacher, say, you know, say you're in an ethics class and then some teacher, I guess, and you hear about evolution, but you don't hear about intelligent design. So you're interested in the subject, you try to do your own research. Obviously, it's not as challenging as a professor who, you know, has a 20-year veteran in the field. And then you graduate Cornell, and Cornell has another graduate that, once confronted with a different viewpoint, does not have, you know, the strength to understand and, you know, cases refute, you know, an argument of which he doesn't believe.
So do you think
Speaker's time has expired. There's been a motion to extend by. Hold on. There's been a motion to extend by 2 minutes and a second. Agreeing to send. Okay.
Do you think our science classrooms should be including intelligent design in their curriculum?
Can I just respond to that real quick? I don't think this resolution at all like actually addresses the issue of intelligent design being included in science classes. You picked a really, actually, very contentious topic. But I think that having having this intellectual diversity will at least allow the debate to occur about this matter. But I mean, if you ask me personally, do I think science classrooms should include intelligent design? No. But do I think the debate should exist? Yes.
Well, my problem isn't that students shouldn't be debating issues. It's that you guys put in your this resolution that the exclusion of viewpoint is indoctrination. So, Austin, you just said,
well,
you shouldn't
read that
because, okay, the actual sentence is, teachers are entitled to freedom in teaching their subjects as they see fit, but not to the point of political, ideological, religious, or anti-religious indoctrination, or to the exclusion of other opinions or viewpoints. From this saying, does a teacher have to include those viewpoints to get a well-rounded education?
No, it does. It means the teacher cannot exclude them from the debate. It doesn't mean that the teacher, him or herself, has to include them.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean the teacher cannot exclude them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for the IND example, for instance, if you had the evolution teacher design, if you wanted to ask about an IND, then he couldn't tell you you couldn't bring it up. This would say you can bring it up, and he can shoot you down, but you have a right as a student to be able to bring that up in the class.
If it's indoctrination, if he doesn't bring it up, and if no one else brings it up in class, the opinion has been not mentioned. I went through a whole class about hearing about intelligent design. Just from the language, I feel that I would be indoctrinated if that viewpoint wasn't mentioned in class. And I don't, in my opinion, I don't think intelligent design should be mentioned in science class. But the language says that it's indoctrination if it is.
Speaker's time has expired. Representative Lavin.
Yeah, I just wanted to add, as always, I have a certain parents for kind of sustainable. First of all, I think this is an important issue, and I thought you'd bring it up. I'm pretty well you're going to get a lot of questions and probably a lot of any remarks and whatnot. And as to whether or not this is a major problem, major issue, I don't know who is here and David has a question to find what a major issue or problem is, and what Vince is saying, whether this affects thousands of people who are not well, and it might affect the small minority, but whatever, this is an issue of discussion. also, sort of what Russell Fox was saying, I had my reservations or concerns for questions regarding, I guess, the course of action for the initiative. Well, for example, like, there's a lot of components of the initiative that I agree with, and then some that I'm sort of, I don't know. So, I mean, is this back issue? Is this your initiative, or is this something that, you know, either, or is it, you know, a rolling process of changing?
Well, I mean, Ron, to be honest, like, the spirit of the initiative is more important to me than, like, if you want to change, like, words in there. I'm open to particular debates so long as it doesn't actually, like, gut out the intention of the initiative. Like, so long as we stay within the intent of the initiative, like, I'm willing to discuss if certain words should be changed to reflect what, you know, at Cornell Student Assembly, what we better... what we better believe in. So I have to have a proposition for you. We're not going to vote on this today. We're going to vote on this next week. If you take the time this weekend, I know you're probably very busy, but just take a look at it. Send me the points to the points you don't like, and be like, ah, these are the points, like, if you were to take these out or word them this way, I would support the resolution.
Yeah.
I would never be more than happy to consider
it. It's more than just a worker here, then, but obviously, you can get the other thing, the course of action, like, I mean, I just see maybe incorporating, or trying to incorporate this in, like, the actual bill of rights or something that...
Speaker's time has expired.
Motion to extend by 1 minute.
The motion to extend by 1 minute. The second is 30 to 6. Okay.
Just something that others were also expressing. What is going to be? I mean, I've been working with, I don't know if that's something under the university assembly or not, but working with acting with adult rights is where we have that education and something just like a clear course of action.
Well, for the course of action, I think, like, probably the most appropriate is to, once we pass the student assembly, once we show that there is support within the student assembly, which is a representative of the guiding body of the students, so I'll take it to David Harris and take it to other members of the administration. And then I personally, I guess I could ask all pledging to take this next year to be my task to sort of pursue it on that administrative level. But that will make people feel comfortable, make it feel like it has no teeth. I will personally put my name down as they sort of the lead on this.
Representative Nisargans.
I just wanted to respond to a few of the other things people said. I have been in classes where conservative professors have taught down liberal students and vice versa. So if we're going by anecdotal evidence, then there it is out there. Second of all, I think what you're saying makes a lot of sense. I don't see why diversity of thought or diversity of discussion is a conservative issue and why it's being labeled that way. That doesn't really make much sense to me. At the same time, I think one problem we have in this assembly is we create these resolutions that don't really have teeth to them. And so I would suggest maybe you add in a clause or something that creates some sort of liaison of this by the student assembly or something to explore this issue, or an ad hoc committee of some sort, so that we're not just signing this today and then doing nothing about it ever again.
I would just say, you know, often
over
the weekend and everything.
Yeah, this is Ryan. Neil's perfect idea. I'll email you a suggestion, or if you have a suggestion on what, like, do you think like a committee is better or a liaison is better, just email me this weekend and I'll have that like conference for
you. Yeah, and I think your focus on these being universal ideas is very important, because I would be equally as behind if we were like Texas A&M, for instance. I would probably be equally as comfortable wearing a Bush sticker here as it would be a Hillary Clinton sticker in College Station, Texas. Okay, like that's all. I think you said like these are universal ideas. Should be labeled as conservative liberal. It is what it is.
And then finally, maybe it might be helpful for you to find somebody more to the left for this, just to satisfy some of the other people here. I don't think it's necessary, but apparently some people think it is, so maybe if you can do that in the next week, that might benefit.
I'll get actually,
as I was just looking over this, I'm reminded that the university diversity group actually already embodies a lot of these ideals. So that's just food for thought. Austin Regnan.
Okay. So with the instances that you mentioned with the students that were discriminated against because of liberal beliefs or income in class, is there some mechanism within the university that kills somebody and say, hey, this professor is making me uncomfortable, or I don't think they're discriminated against?
Well, right now I'm talking about a sort of attack from the idea of bias towards. But as I said before, one of the big differences is, you know, this is directly against the professor, which could have, you know, stronger consequences than, you know, we're also working with internally, which is this, and this seems pretty much it, as a report for people.
The speakers list is now empty, and nobody appears to be interested in being placed on it. So, debate is over, and we're going to move on to the next resolution. Thanks, guys. Alright, on to Resolution 43, resolution regarding SA liaisons to byline funding groups. Vice President Boxer and Representative Craig.
So basically what the resolution is, I know that there were a lot of talk this year over about changing a lot of the charter. I don't know if that's being actualized or because the budget that it is implemented to me and has any type of life, it is, I feel, very important to put in our charter. Basically, I want to make liaisons to three organizations that we buy money from. Basically, the thing that we do with SAFB is just so that we have someone giving us updates, keeping us posted. Certainly, if there are any internal or external issues relating to church we buy money from, it is completely within our rights and purview to, you know, be ready for them and for the entire assembly to all be free to that. So, one of those is Steve Tanay. Steve Tanay actually has honestly no problem adding an essay member to their report name, actually. As soon as I emailed them about it, and I just spoke to them about it as well. As soon as I emailed them about it, they emailed me back like 2 minutes later with like a reminder adding an essay member to their report. That's due today. So if they've experienced the same thing, they actually already have in their charter that they're supposed to be members of the SA on their executive board. So it's just not in ours, which is why we never sat anyone on there. But, you know, if anything, not only do they not have a problem with it, but it literally is already in their charter. And then the Inclusion Leadership Program is just a lead. I like to take a lead on the program, you know, same functioning as a member of the reward in the past has always been the vice president of finance who's done that. But then again, the program is only like, I believe, 3 years old at point now. So now it's expanding. It has expanded. We have plenty of money from the CNCC, you know, and hopefully it will remain on campus and remain vibrant. So, you know, it sort of might be getting to the point where it would be helpful for someone besides just the vice president of finance to know, you know, where they'd like to put new boxes and how many students are picking up students they do versus New York Times. And it might just be helpful and, you know, a position of power for someone else on the assembly to help regulate that stuff, and this is just all falling under the vice president of finance. So, you know, I think it would be great, ideally, to do this for every group that we buy in fund. These three groups specifically are what happened there with the issue now, just because there have, these are groups that specifically have had issues, not the Fisher Ears program, but the other two have had keyboard issues that would have been really nice over the past year we have been more aware of and brought back to the assembly. So that's basically it.
Those changes to the CU Tonight charter and whatever other charters, they actually need to come in.
Right.
Are they coming again next week?
Well, I wanted to, I guess, if I bring those changes next week, you can, I mean, you already approved, I suppose. Actually, no, we didn't approve changes. No, sorry, we approved changes to split days. So it would basically be, I guess, this is the day we approved your charter, but then this resolution is not later. So I didn't want to make those changes before, like today, before you guys knew that this was today for Dan at all, but, you know, it definitely would need to happen next week.
Representative Hartman.
Yes, I actually like the spirit of this resolution. I looked at Appendix B before I came today or last night, and in Appendix B, in one of our guidelines, it says we can appoint student assembly people as liaisons to these groups already. And
yes.
Like, if we had a problem, why didn't we do this already?
Well, that's a good question. Why didn't we do it already? I don't know an answer for that. But what you're actually talking about is we can help you, not just to any of these groups. Anyone can sit in on slow days, like general board meetings. Tuesday, like go hang out with them when they're out in time, whatever. I mean, you're right, you are entitled to do that stuff. There are things that executive boards of these groups do that are different from, you know, if you want to go to an SAC meeting, you can go to the whole meeting. But there are internal matters that are resolved in e-board, in terms of allocating special funds, dealing with internal you know, members of the group, whatever. There is a difference there between being on the executive board of those groups or just sort of being like an ex officio liaison who pops in and out. We would like members of the assembly to be intimately acquainted with the groups that we fund and these groups, you know, are requesting the same thing. And it's just, I can see your
question.
What I was also going to say is that we have had issues with some of these groups, like with Spoken, for example, where they're a little bit hesitant sometimes to reveal things to FA members because they feel like if they're just talking about it in like a general sense, and then maybe we come and like talk about it in our meetings with, you know, the dealer's son or whoever else or something. I think that there's an understanding when you have a member on your executive board that they're not going to come, like, you know, like when Maddie comes and she'll say, just so that you guys know, that it's an internal matter with an FAC member. We took care of it, we voted, we removed him, it was a very fair process. You know, she's not saying it was this person, you know, that like they would have those concerns about confidentiality and stuff like that. And those are mitigated when you have someone on the executive board to set both those groups because then, you know, there is an understanding of the executive board.
But additionally, one of your concerns is that in the past that these positions haven't been shown that.
No, I had a question.
10 seconds.
Another thing I was going to bring up is that as soon as some members can join these groups as executive members already, I'm on the executive board of filing funding groups. I mean, if people on the assembly wanted to be on, let's say, executive board, they could join. So why don't we just keep the liaison that we already have in our charter?
And it's really a different function. This is actually the official from the student assembly that we're serving in this position as a representative from our group to their serving on the executive board, representing our interests, making sure that the funding process is doing work with everyone's on the our chart and the guidelines we set out more so than just as a community member who's having self-conviction in the organization.
And as, you know, and as vice president of the junior class or president, whatever, it's really not appropriate to during an action group words to say, by the way, as president of class of 08, you know, we're having a free event this weekend. It's just not really the appropriate forum to do it like that because you're not, you know, it's kind of like inviting them to say, hey, one of the organizations that I'm involved with randomly just wanted to do
Point of information, I just wanted to point out, Vince, that the liaisons for the CU Tonight Commission and Slope Day Programming Board are actually not new. We're just changing our charter to, bring ours in harmony with theirs, and also so that future assemblies know that we're supposed to have liaisons.
And my second question is, why aren't we treating these liaisons like other, like, vice provost liaisons, because they're voted by the majority of the assembly? And these are appointed by the Vice President of Finance. What's the reasoning for that?
That actually, I mean, Tom actually was helpful in writing this, and that was his choice.
I wrote that. It doesn't have to be that way.
If it's a huge issue, then
you can be a
right. It just made sense to this, sense because in the past, historically, as kind of calls and the purview of the VPS, to just go ahead and establish the liaison with two new relationships going, so it made sense that if we're going to actually solidify these changes, that are just be naturally my responsibility. And also, so it doesn't fall through the cracks, it's just another liaison ship that appointed to IOP, and it may just fall way down the list and nobody ever parts off, or shut the assembly just around the point people may have done, as opposed to just simply enumerated as one of the.
We appointed, we voted for Austin for.
Right.
I think the time has expired. Vice President Slicklin.
I just first want to say this is a great idea. I've talked to Slope Day and they like, you know, our involvement with that. Just very quickly, the fourth whereas clause refers to the Slope Day Steering Committee, but on the back you refer to the Slope Day Programming Board. So are you asking for liaisons to the executive board of the
Okay.
That's all I know.
Representative Salem. Yes,
Ackman. Okay. Been sort of echoed my comment, but I think that we should be revising the resolution and making it so that consistent with how the liaisons are being picked. So so that it's also picked by like by majority of the assembly votes. I think that's been the most fair way of doing it, and I think that just appointments are always the best way to go about things. So I think we should keep liaison the way we've always done, which is by voting them in. So that's not like too much of a hassle. I would recommend changing the list.
Point of information, actually not all liaisons are voted on. For instance, this year we had a couple liaisons to the Slope Day Programming Board, and I just chose. So, I mean...
Well, I guess it's
over. No, it's not. It's perfectly within my power to choose, and we do that for depending on the situation. So.
I think also just one thing I want to point out for Slope Day, and Adam and I will definitely discuss, we definitely hear you guys on this whole appointing thing or not. I do want to say that with Slope Day specifically, their leadership is very concerned about which SAMS, not which, any personal issues with anyone, but Slope Day itself, anyone on the executive board needs to sign, really, really strict confidentiality agreements. There is sort of a lot more involved with that than there is just with, any other executive boards that we set up at all. So it's not a question of any of the funding or anything that we're involved with. It sounds pretty sketchy, but I guess they would also be involved a little bit with the process just so that they really can, drive home how, exactly what the position is and how strict they are about those sort of things. So I guess that sort of made it a little bit easier in terms of.
Well, we need to communicate with them, and tell them, these people are interested in running.
Right.
Well, I'm sure there's some sort of fair process we can develop for them because they have specific. I'm sure you're referring to the leaking to the Daily Sun and stuff like that.
Yeah, and there's a lot of stuff
we can develop, but I think appointment isn't a fair or isn't the Democratic.
Since we are established, this is done, so it is a practice of how to use. Would you be more comfortable?
I wasn't it.
And so my take was put on the first.
Because time has expired.
Motion.
No.
The speaker's list is empty. If no one else wishes to speak, then debate is over. Okay. Yeah, motion to adjourn. Is there a second? 30 seconds. Okay, this meeting is adjourned. Okay. How's that breakfast yesterday?
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.